This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today's interview has the intriguing title of Biohacking Your Microbiome. Biohacking, a popular term these days, because we got a lot of Silicon Valley geniuses attempting to biohack their bodies and their brains for greater productivity and longevity. And with us today is health expert and master educator, Dr. Ross Pelton, one of our favorite guests. He's a pharmacist, clinical nutritionist, health educator, and he's scientific advisor for Essential Formulas, Inc. He was named one of the top 50 most influential pharmacists in the United States by American Druggist magazine for his work in natural medicine. And he frequently writes and appears on broadcasts such as this to share vital information with listeners and helps to break it down when it comes to especially his area of expertise, which is the microbiome. So, Ross, it's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us.
Sure, Dr. Ron. It's always a pleasure to have an opportunity to be on Intelligent Medicine with you.
Indeed. Yeah, we always have lively conversations. But before that, before we get into biohacking, I want to address the elephant in the room, which is something that, you know, I watched this and my blood was boiling. I don't know. I guess I keep returning to 60 Minutes as the arbiter of truth and journalistic excellence. I remember, all the hard-hitting exposés that they did when I was growing up. And I tuned in the other day and they did a hit piece on probiotics, of all things. And the title of that broadcast was, "Do Probiotics Actually Do Anything?" Sarcastically titled. And they paraded a bunch of experts on there basically saying, yeah, the research is really weak. There's no evidence that probiotics do anything whatsoever. Yet it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Basically, Americans are being taken for a ride because they've been convinced that some worthless product is doing something for them. I thought to write a rebuttal, but in the back of my mind, I said, I bet you Ross Pelton's on the case. I'm pretty sure he's gonna write a very, very pointed rebuttal on this subject, because that's exactly in his wheelhouse. And so I stayed my hand, and my laziness for once was rewarded, because you came up with an excellent rebuttal to that. So can we start with a little bit of a recap on that?
Sure, Dr. Ron. A lot of people saw the 60 Minutes segment, and it was really regrettable that 60 Minutes did such a hit job on the whole probiotic industry. And essentially, they were very critical of probiotics and claimed that probiotic supplements are virtually useless. Mm-hmm. It was really one-sided. They handpicked their experts that had an agenda, and so it was not a balanced mm-hmm. reporting at all. So
yeah, and that's one thing that I noted is that I said, you know, I wish they would have reached out to you or to any number of some of the really well-regarded individuals that we've interviewed on the subject of the microbiome and probiotic use over the years on Intelligent Medicine. But it seemed like they had an agenda. and they just mustered experts to support the contention that probiotics, you know, were valueless.
That's right. And you know, the U.S. government has funded hundreds of millions of dollars into researching the microbiome and the benefits of probiotics, and specifically in the human gut microbiome. So this is something that the government recognizes as very important. It's really the cutting edge of healthcare and medicine. It's going to be a critical component of what we know about treating health and remaining healthy in the future. So it's unfortunate they cast such a negative light on probiotics. And to be fair, it's really too soon to create therapeutic protocols that generalize for all people, because everybody's got their own individual microbiome fingerprint. And but overall, we recognize that the gut and the microbiome are critical for health and the immune system, and so it should not be disparaged the way 60 Minutes did.
Right. And you know, I think, you know, thank you for bringing up a good point, because I think it can be said that research on the microbiome and how to influence it is in its infancy. We recognize the importance of the microbiome, and it's critical in many, many diseases, surprisingly, even in mood-related disorders, even in neurodegenerative diseases, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, and so on. So far, we haven't reached a level of precision where we can say this particular species can be targeted for patients who have such and such. That is, you know, regrettably not the case yet. And I think, you know, I would have been, if that had been the takeaway of that program, I would have said, well, okay, thank you for pointing out that modest conclusion that, you know, we're not talking about a panacea here. We don't have designer probiotics to treat all and sundry medical conditions. That would have been okay with me. But it was just basically saying, you know, there's no evidence that they really work.
Yeah. You're right. And there's thousands of top-level scientists around the world that are devoting their careers to studying the microbiome and probiotics. And so it's really gathering a lot of steam. There's an enormous number of published studies in PubMed with the term microbiome or probiotics in the title of these studies. So it is gathering a great deal of momentum. And I don't think that the negative 60 minutes hit piece is really going to stop very many people from taking probiotics.
I think it damages the credibility of 60 Minutes.
I totally agree.
Because, you know, I think so many people these days are very, very skeptical when it comes to the media. I mean, yes, we've heard this term, you know, fake news. And I think no matter where you land on the political spectrum, there's a lot in the media that is shoddy reporting on science, shoddy report on current events, with a slant, with a built-in bias. And, you know, we saw recently, and I actually wrote about this, a rebellion that took place, in the newsroom, in the editorial, newsroom of the New York Times by a journalist who said, basically, they got an agenda, and anyone who departs from this preordained agenda, is going to suffer consequences. And, you know, then, and you've watched this probably too with dismay, a cavalcade of negative articles about supplements in the New York Times, which unfortunately really is an opinion setter for the rest of journalism, but almost like uniformly negative reporting about supplements. This supplement doesn't work. This supplement proves to be useless, on and on and on and on. And of course, you know, we who are in the field, we know that, well, some things remain controversial. There's so much evidence in support of various supplements and nutraceuticals and, of course, probiotics.
Exactly. And, you know, for decades, we've known that probiotic bacteria play a really important role in the regulation of human health. But until recently, we didn't understand the mechanism of action and how that really happens. And now we're starting to really understand the mechanism of action of how probiotics work. And we've talked about this on your show before. The bacteria ferment fibers and create secondary metabolites, which are, we call them postbiotic metabolites. And these are master health regulating compounds that influence and regulate just about all the biochemistry in the body at one level or another. So we're really starting to understand how these bacteria work, but it's not so much the bacteria, it's the compounds that they create. Mm-hmm. If a person is consuming a high-fiber diet.
Right, and there's also something which you've talked about, which is immunological crosstalk, which is the signals that are sent from beneficial bacteria to immune cells, which line the intestinal tract, which communicate with the entire immune system of the body. And those are really essential for health and regulation.
You bet, especially communication with the brain through the gut microbiome brain axis. There's a tremendous superhighway of communication through the vagus nerve from the gut to the brain.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, I will chime in. I haven't the vaguest idea what you're talking about. No, not really.
That's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. I just had to interject. But, you know, of course, yeah, the vagus nerve seems to be that the mediator of some of these effects. Let's get into the subject of biohacking, because you've been writing articles about the topic of biohacking your microbiome. And that's, it sounds vaguely illicit. You know, it's like, some people take psychedelic drugs to biohack their brains and bodies. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well, I start by explaining the real meaning of the term hacking. It's taken on a negative connotation because people associate it with the illegal activities where people break into businesses or banks and get access to personal information. But really, originally, the term hacking refers to finding a newer, faster, or more efficient way of accessing information or completing a project. And so when we get into biohacking, it's utilizing new methods of technology or products that are on the cutting edge to really enhance the performance of your physical being and your biochemistry and really improve your health and slow down your aging process.
So there is something called the genome complexity conundrum. That sounds kind of tantalizing. What is meant by that?
Yeah, this is a really fascinating topic. When scientists first sequenced the human genome, they found out that humans had about 23,000 genes, and this is quite a bit fewer than they expected to find.
Mm-hmm.
But they found out that the common rice plant has about 45,000 genes.
And so scientists they're really more sophisticated than we are.
Saying, you know, we're supposed to be so evolved, and yet the rice plant has got twice as many genes as we do. So how can we function if we've only got half as many genes as the common rice plant?
Mm-hmm.
And with the Human Genome Project and the funding that the government committed to researching the microbiome, we find out that all individuals have somewhere between 500 and 1,000 different species of bacteria in their gut microbiome, and those bacteria contain over 3 million genes. And so what we're finding out is that over 99%, in fact, 99.9% of the DNA in your body is the DNA of your bacteria.
Wow.
And we don't need to have so many genes because so much of the work in our body is being done by our bacteria. They're using their genetic information to create biochemical processes that help us. And so we are not just us. We are thus us plus them. We are a super organism of ourselves, our human DNA, and the DNA of all our bacteria.
Wow. I mean, it gives new meaning to the expression, you complete me.
Yeah, you're right. And so people really need to have a better understanding and appreciation for how important these probiotic bacteria are in their gastrointestinal system and how to nourish them, how to help them survive and thrive. And every time you eat, you have to think about the fact that you're feeding 100 trillion guests at a mammoth party. You're feeding your microbiome every time you eat. And since they're so critical for health regulation, we need to understand how to optimize their function and their survival.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about the microbiome in the context of our current predicament with COVID-19.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And a couple of really interesting findings, and I'm sure you're all over this. One is that people who take acid-blocking medications, PPIs, are at higher risk of COVID-19 severe complications and death. No, that's fact number one. Fact number two, and it's this amazing study that looks worldwide at the consumption of fermented food. You know, many societies, unlike the United States, everything we have is, you know, pasteurized and, you know, sterilized,
processed.
Yeah. But in many, especially, you know, lesser developed countries with less refrigeration, they rely on fermented foods. And what they found is in those very countries, they had a much lower incidence of serious COVID-19 infections and death. Perhaps it's correlation and not causation, but it's was pretty compelling when they overlaid the maps of fermented food consumption and the severity of COVID-19. And what does that say about the role that the microbiome may play in regulating immunity?
Exactly, because fermented foods are the same process that we were talking about, where fibers are required. They're the food for your probiotic bacteria. And in the process of fermenting foods, bacteria are breaking down the fibers in the foods and creating some of these postbiotic metabolites, especially things like short-chain fatty acids, which create an environment that suppresses the growth of pathogens. So for thousands of years, people have used fermentation, fermented foods as a way of preserving foods, but now we find out it really promotes health because it's creating a healthier microbiome.
So one of the things that intrigues me about the product that you often talk about, which is Dr. Ahira's brand of probiotics, is that it's not really like a lot of other over-the-counter probiotics. It's not a single species. It's not even a, you know, like a three species or, you know, a combo product. You know, lactobacillus and bifidobacteria. It is truly a fermented food in a capsule, right?
That's true. And Dr. Ahira created a multi-year fermentation production process where you start out with 12 strains of bacteria and add dozens of different types of organically grown foods. And then the bacteria get to digest and ferment the fibers in those foods for 3 to 5 years. And at the time that they encapsulate the product, you have probiotic bacteria. You have some of the prebiotic fibers, but most importantly, you've got over 500 of these postbiotic metabolites. So Dr. O'Hara's is really, as you said, a fermented food probiotic that directly delivers postbiotic metabolites, and you get fast reaction and fast improvement in the microbiome ecosystem when you directly ingest these postbiotic metabolites. So there's really nothing in the world like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics.
You know, one thing that intrigues me, looking worldwide at the statistics, is that Korea and Japan, which are literally sitting at the doorstep of China, there's lots and lots of commerce between those countries, and certainly the virus has made its way across those borders. They're doing pretty well. And, you know, some would attribute that to, you know, social distancing and mask wearing and public health measures, but man, they consume a lot of fermented foods in those countries, don't they?
Yeah, kimchi, and I don't know if they're into sauerkraut over there, but there's a whole range of these fermented foods in different
pickles
countries,
and
especially Southeast Asia. They have lots of fermented foods.
Natto, and not that much yogurt, because they don't do a lot of dairy.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, lots of live cultures, live fermented foods that may impart beneficial compounds to the digestive tract. And coming back to biohacking, what are some of the ways in which we can, you know, let's say, you know, we're all vulnerable and we want to improve our microbiome. What are some of the ways that we can do that?
Well, one thing that most people don't understand is how important fibers are in your diet, a fiber-rich diet to support the health of your microbiome, because these fibers are the food for your probiotic bacteria. And diversity is a really important term in terms of the microbiome. All ecosystems, whether it's the Amazon rainforest or coral reefs in the ocean, all ecosystems are stronger and more resilient if they have a large diversity, which means a wide range of different species. In the Amazon, it's different trees and different flowers and so forth. In your microbiome, it's different species of bacteria. And the only way you can get a diverse microbiome is to consume a diverse range of different types of fiber. And so most Americans don't consume enough fiber, but it's not just the lack of the quantity of fiber. It's the fact that Americans are consuming a different range or diversity of mm-hmm. different types of fiber. And so biohacking your microbiome, you got to consume different types of fiber.
So it's not just a matter of like putting a teaspoon of Metamucil in your water, yeah. you know, every night, you know, to
inulin,
your fiber.
Or FOS or something, yeah.
So you need other sources.
People think that high-dose probiotics are best, massive doses of one or two strains. That works against balance and diversity. Mm-hmm. Just like adding inulin or FOS or Metamucil, one type of fiber is not contributing to diversity of fiber. So really important to stress balance and diversity for a healthy microbiome, and you got to consume a different range of fiber foods in order to create and maintain a diverse microbiome for your health.
What are some of the prime fiber-rich foods that you should include in your menu on a rotating basis?
Well, I think that two-thirds of your fiber food should be vegetables, different types of vegetables, and then the other third should be a mixture of different types of fruits and whole grains. I use the term food without labels. If you stop to think of it, the things that nature grows, are bell pepper and a zucchini and lettuce and so forth, they don't have labels on them with a whole range of supplementary ingredients and preservatives and so forth. So food without labels is the type of thing I like to get people to think about when they're eating. But wide range of different types of vegetables is the best way to nourish your microbiome.
Does fiber have to be like crunchy to be fibrous?
You know, that's a good thing to think about, Ron. I guess they probably are. I mean, most of the foods I'm thinking about, all types of vegetables have a bit of a crunch to them when you eat them. What's your thought on that?
Well, what I'm getting at is that I think people tend to think that fiber, it has to be sort of gritty, you know, that you have to have, you know, granola or something to get fiber. And you know, when you eat something soft like applesauce, I mean, that's actually a lot of fiber.
Sure, you bet.
It's palatable, it's soft, soluble fiber, you know, simply by eating lots and fruits and vegetables. You know, one of the things that I don't like, I don't know, maybe I'm stepping on some people's toes, but they try to sell fruit and vegetable capsules. fruit and veggie, or fruit and veggie, like one scoop will take care, you know, it'll be like eating, you know, 15 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But that's, how can they possibly make the equivalence with all the fiber that you're getting from a natural succulent fruit or vegetable? Or in some cases, they put some grains in there. They put some buckwheat or something in there. It's not the same because maybe some of the nutrients are concentrated there. But it's not like you can, condense it into a capsule.
Right. And they've studied, indigenous cultures and find out that many of the Amazon Indians and hunter gatherers in Eastern Australia, these people eat 10 times more fiber on a daily basis mm-hmm. than most Americans. Mm-hmm. And the diversity of their microbiome is 2 times yep. greater than yep. most people in our industrialized culture. So it comes down to the diet. And as much as I promote healthy nutritional supplements and Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you got to have the fiber. Even Dr. O'Hara's probiotics won't work well if you're not feeding
your microbiome. So you need to team it with a good diet.
Fiber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. All right. At this point, let's pause because we divide our podcast into two parts, and I want to get into some more detail about your biohacking paradigm.
Sure.
The theme is biohacking the microbiome, and our guest is Ross Pelton. He's scientific director for Essential Formulas, the maker of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. You can find them at essentialformulas.com, and they're available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other natural health retailers nationwide, also available online. And we'll be right back with more of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.